from the studios of Kootenai Co-op Radio, this is Deconstructing Dinner.
And welcome to Deconstructing Dinner, produced at Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY, Nelson, British Columbia. I'm John Steinman, and today marks part 7 of our ongoing Local Grain Revolution series, which has been tracking the evolution of Canada's first community-supported agriculture, or CSA, project for grain. On today's episode, we hop on board one of 4 sailboats that took part in the fossil fuel-free distribution of the locally grown grains harvested from the Creston Valley as part of the CSA project. 5,000 pounds of the grains were loaded onto the 4 boats and transported to the city of Nelson. Both Nelson and the Creston Valley lie along the shores of Kootenai Lake, one of the province's largest inland bodies of water. Since the Local Grain Project was first conceived in late 2007, Deconstructing Dinner has been documenting the evolution of this innovative initiative of linking eaters up with grain farmers. The project has been using a CSA, or Community Supported Agriculture, model, which, by bridging the gap between the producer and the consumer, seeks to ensure that the farmer is fairly compensated for the bounty produced on their land. The model also assists the eater to become more aware of how their food is grown and who is growing it. Since part 1 of the series aired in March 2008, our Local Grain Revolution series has featured recordings from the many meetings of the CSA's steering committee. We featured inspiring audio from the first Grain CSA tour, when many of the 180 CSA members were introduced to their grains and farmers for the first time. We've aired 3 one-hour episodes of recordings from the Kootenai Harvest Revival, a celebration of the CSA's first harvest of grain, and today, the next phase in the project, the distribution. When a group of sailors first heard about the CSA back in 2008, they jumped upon the opportunity to donate their time and skills to this innovative model of accessing local food. Of course, the idea of sailing locally grown grain is ripe to generate a lot of attention, and indeed it has. Since the grain was unloaded off of the sailboats in October 2008, the CSA has been featured in Canada's largest agricultural periodical, The Western Producer. It was a feature in the January-February 2009 issue of Small Farm Canada. It received exposure in a recent issue of Briar Patch magazine, and it became the topic for a lecture at the University of Alberta's International Week in February. And that's only a sampling of the attention the project continues to receive. A well-documented account of this attention can be found on the Deconstructing Dinner website at deconstructingdinner.ca, where audio, photographs, newspaper clippings, and a host of other resources continue to be compiled as part of our Local Grain Revolution page. As this broadcast goes to air, we are also now adding a wealth of new photographs from the sailing trip that we're about to embark upon on today's show, and we certainly recommend you check those out either while you listen in on the show or whenever you next get the chance. Also on the page, you'll find some maps of the route that the sailboats took and where the grain was grown on the 3 farms growing as part of the CSA. As we've now been doing quite often here on the show, today's broadcast is in stereo. If you're listening on the radio, not all of our participating stations broadcast in stereo, but we highly recommend you take the opportunity to listen to today's episode using either a good set of headphones or on a set of home speakers. Of course, if you're in a vehicle, just be sure you stay on the road, because the sensation of actually being on the sailboats featured today is significantly enhanced by taking advantage of these stereo recordings. Back on October 16th, we heard from Nelson sailor Jay Blackmore, one of the 4 sailors who took part on the October 26th weekend sailing event. In helping launch today's show, here again is a segment from that episode, followed by the voices of CSA co-founder Matt Lowe, sailor David Oosthuizen, and the musical talents of Earl Hamilton and Norman Richard.
Basically, the first I'd heard about it was when the newspaper articles here locally came out. And, you know, it sounded like a great idea, and we spoke about getting involved with it the following season. And then I didn't really think too much about it more as the summer went along until I saw more articles that it was a success and the farmers that were coming across with quite a crop. And I started thinking that the whole idea of folks getting their food locally, more sustainably, and with a smaller footprint, why not use the transportation corridors that we have occurring naturally, you know, with the lake? So it just seemed like a natural progression to why not try and get some more folks locally involved with the community, especially from the Kootenai Lake Sailing Association. It seemed like a natural progression to think about bringing a cargo back rather than just getting out there, you know, for fun.
I love sailcloth. I just feel that, it's sort of like a nylon product, but stuff lasts and it makes such a beautiful shape. The foil, I guess for sailors, at least for me anyways, the shape of the foil that's created by a sail, it's just, I don't know, it's a thing of beauty.
What do you mean by foil?
Like the shape of a wing or like a bird's wing when you look at the profile, that kind of teardrop shape. Say, for example, if you lay on the deck and just stare up at the sails, they look like bird's wings, you know? They're just absolutely gorgeous things.
We could buy our wheat from Creston now. The farmer's got a sure sale, they know. It gives me a sense of content somehow to get our bread so close to home. See, I grew up with Monsanto and Dow, chemical living, you know. They had all of us convinced somehow the fuel made everything close to home. If you want to have a future, get your food from close to home. If you want to see your children grow, get your food from close to home. We recognize our responsibility.
Okay, Matt. So yep. This line here, this is the halyard. Okay. It's one of the main lines on a boat. So I pull up the sail a bit, and you see that next brass clip. Put it on similar to the one above it. And what you're doing is you're hanking the sail onto the forestay. That's our foresail, or foresail. Just hold on. Once we get under motion, it's amazing the force of the sail. It drives the boat through the waves. Like it cuts through, like a motorized vessel. Never feels the same. Like if the weather kicks up, there's a lot of times where a small boat like this is fine out 6 foot, 8 foot swell, but if there was a 30 knot wind, whereas the motorboats would be incapacitated. And the way it feels, because the boat's driven through the, I don't know what the dynamics are, but it's driven through the waves and with the waves, everything working in front of it.
So that's the sound of grain. That's the sound of fresh bread.
Coming.
It's delicious. It's funny that sails sound like bread because you have to raise them. The bread has to rise too, so it's quite a lot in common. Raise the sails! This lake is actually brilliant for sailing, this main lake. Like, it's not, there's a lot of steady winds. The wind will either come out, generally on the lake, what I've seen is the wind's either going to be coming from the north, which is what we got today, which is sort of the prevailing wind. If there's a big storm, that it can change and start coming from the south. Today we've got our prevailing winds.
So this is the first beer.
Yeah. Now, you know what?
And who's this courtesy of?
This is courtesy of our local brewery, Nelson Brewing Company.
And, you know, to honor the brewing company and to honor the sea gods, I would suggest that before drinking, that you place a small amount of this precious beverage into the lake. And because we want the sea gods...
And the mermaids.
We want to be in their good favor.
Well, to barley.
To all
the local barley.
To the wonderful grains. That's so good, yes. Mm-hmm.
Come to justice, Mr. Slugard. Need a chat to you.
To all
the local barley.
To the wonderful grains. This is good.
you get your bread, Mr. Seven. Tell me where you get your bread each day and night. So tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Seven.
That sounds good, eh?
Tell me where you get your bread each time.
The local barley.
To the wonderful grains.
Have you ever worked a forklift? Hustling day and night on the wharf. Have you ever worked a taxi? Sleeping on the street side all night long to find some food. So tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Southern. Tell me where you get your bread each time you lift your knife and fork. Tell me where you get your bread,
and this is Deconstructing Dinner, and those were the musical talents of the group Culture and the late Joseph Hill. On today's part 7 of the Local Grain Revolution series, we're currently on board with Creston Grain CSA co-founder Matt Lowe and sailor David Oosthuizen. The three of us were just one part of a fleet of 4 sailboats that departed the west arm of Kootenay Lake en route to the Creston Valley. The mission? To pick up 5,000 pounds of grains grown as part of the first year of this innovative local food project. As heard in that last segment, it didn't take long before the act of sailing began to shed its many similarities to the grain project that this trip was now a part of. Just as David recognized how sailing versus motorized transport lends itself to the idea of man and nature working in concert, so too has the Grain CSA sought to reduce the reliance upon a fossil fuel-dependent food system, in exchange for one more reliant on the rhythms of nature. As we exited the calm waters of the sheltered bay of the community of Balfour, we entered into the main body of the lake, where conditions became somewhat ocean-like. Before the big winds hit, we found just enough time to chow down on a few local specialties known as fougasse, a French type of bread that is traditionally made to resemble an ear of wheat. The bread was the product of Ocelet Levant, the one bakery who purchased 20 shares as part of the CSA's inaugural year.
And sometimes you just gotta have a little patience. You wait it out and the wind will come to you, like it is right now. You can hear it, see that flap, flap, flap of the sail. It's like telling us, hey, we're kind of getting bobbed around. We don't have any wind. We've got no drive, nothing. But we're just gonna wait a second or two here. See what happens.
I love it. Sailing can teach us a lot, where society is just so obsessed with doing things so fast and, you know, no patience.
There it is. Look at that, eh? It looks quite windy over there.
Just right there, eh?
Yeah. We're kicking her down.
It's ocean-like out here.
Great. What a day.
What a day. All
right. 15 knot breeze. 2 foot swell. We're heeled over about 20 degrees. We've got quite a bit of sail up. So we're probably kicking down about 6 knots. It's a good little clip. So we're beating into the wind. We're not heading straight to Creston. We're working our way. They call this working when you're heading into the wind. We kind of have to go back and forth and make our way there. So, but we're going now around, say, 12 kilometers an hour, so it's not so bad. 8 hours.
Feels great.
See what I mean by cutting through the waves? Like, if we were out here on a power boat, it would be like, bang, bang. Motor would be roaring. We wouldn't hear each other.
Yeah, this is pretty smooth.
Oh yeah.
Nice. It was like cutting through butter.
We did get to the point, I'm serious, that like this boat cannot sink, just so you know. Like if we have the hatch boards up. Cause even if I get broached, like if a, which we're not gonna be broached because the wind is nice and steady. But if the water starts pouring into the cockpit. When we have those boards up, no water goes down below. We got a huge amount of flotation. Yeah. I mean, I could also put less sail up, but we're going at hull speed. It's kind of tempting just sort of to
Is that like warp speed on the water?
It's like as fast as you can go. It looks like, if you look down the lake, it looks like we've got this kind of same wind, 15 knots or so, for a while.
Awesome.
This feels good to me. How do you guys feel?
Oh, awesome.
I'm amazed that fugas is sitting there. It's like defying gravity.
You know, I'm going to tack over. So what I need you to do, Matt, is you're going to be on the helm. And you're going to hold the boat right into the wind. And things are going to start flapping a bit. But I want you to point right up towards Creston, okay?
Now?
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
All right.
Watch the boom. Head up Creston way, please.
After slicing through the waves at the fastest speed that David Oosthuizen's boat could go, the winds eventually died down. It was during this calm that another interesting lesson to be learned from sailing nicely complemented the very reason why the Grain CSA was formed.
It's interesting, eh? Like, our motion, there might be a bit of a current going in here because we're, I think, relative to... We can kind of use our eyes, and you can actually see there's a bit of a wake. That's another thing I love about sailing, is you're always aware of your wake. Like, a lot of people, they go through life, and they're not thinking, you know, what wake? What am I leaving behind, right? They're just full speed forward, not even thinking about it, right? But in sailing, you're pretty much forced. You got to take a look. Like, it's important information. Like, what... We can see these little waves radiating out from the transom of the boat. Mm. That's giving us an indication about our motion relative to the water, and we need that information to know what's going on. Like, are we going to end up on the rocks? Are we going to end up in big trouble?
Mm. Maybe it would be effective to have out of the exhausts of vehicles, instead of it being clear where you can't see it, there would be some sort of device that would make it red. So you could always look behind in your rearview mirror and see what you're spewing out.
Yeah.
So many things, yeah. It's just, that's a brilliant example, I think. Because you could easily be driving and not thinking about it. You know, what is the weight?
Now, are we actually moving ahead?
Well, the best way to determine that is to look on the land. And I'd say relative to the water, we're moving slowly. But relative to the land, we're not. Because we're just in the mouth of the arm here. It's possible in a current you could be moving backwards. I read a book about this fellow who's doing sailing around 1800 in Australia. He's making his living moving stuff. You know, he'll have to drop his anchor because the tides are going in and out. If he might be 100 feet from where he wants to drop off his payload. If the current's going the wrong way, he drops the anchor and he waits for the fair conditions. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paying attention to one's own wake is of recognizably greater importance today than ever before, and it was the accompanying act of becoming more mindful that allowed CSA co-founder Matt Lowe to conceive the Grain CSA. You might recall that it was Matt's commitment in August 2007 to pay closer attention to what he was consuming that led him to recognize the heavy environmental footprint that his diet was having. In becoming more mindful of his actions, of his wake, he sought to reduce that impact, and there we now were, on a sailboat, en route to pick up the locally grown grain that grew out of that mindfulness. This idea of becoming more mindful was best captured on a past episode of Deconstructing Dinner that aired in that very same month, featuring Cecile Andrews, the author of the book Slow is Beautiful.
I always like Martin Buber, who talked about I-thou versus I-it, that I-it is when you objectify, when you make people into commodities and nature into commodities. And what you want is an I-thou relationship that you own, a real connection with people, with the planet. And so mindfulness is a lot of different things. One, it is very conscious decision-making. But mindfulness is also like, wow, you know, going through your day in a way that you notice things, that you connect with it. And if you're going fast through your day, you're not noticing anything. You're not experiencing happiness. And the word, again, from food, when we talk about savoring our food, we're talking about savoring our lives, savoring your day as you go through it. And so mindfulness lets you get in touch with nature as well. And when you care about nature, you want to save nature. experiencing life is also experiencing nature. It's like, it's the universe. It's so that savoring, it's being mindful, and it connects you with everything that, that our rushed lives take you away from.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. I mean, especially out here on the big lake, where the activity of changing direction and putting up sails, it slows right down with the distances, because we're going to be doing sort of long tacks as we cross back and forth. So we might be sitting here for 15, 20 minutes between times that we do things, and it's just... it begs for a concentration and a focus, and brings everything down, slows everything down. Meditative. It sort of comes. It just comes. There's no... there's nothing you really have to do. I really notice it afterwards, after, like, we're going to be out here sailing for a few days, and when we get back, that feeling... I don't know, there's like an exhilaration, it's a purity, it's like we've been cleansed out here, you know, the wind constantly blowing over us and just working with the elements. It's hard to describe, but it's definitely calming down and slowing down as part of the process.
So how did you first hear about this trip, the idea for the trip? What was your response?
Jade had spoken with Matt, and he said, oh, well, you know, we've got this local organic grain co-op, and, you know, we've come up with the idea to transport the grain by sail as part of the slow food movement and the local food movement. And I was just immediately lit right up, because... like I said, in that slowing down that takes place here, when you're out sailing and the thoughts sort of cross your mind, it had crossed my mind a number of times before how easy it would be to transport goods. And, you know, you see the people, you can see the villages, you see the people living by the shore. And there's something about sailing, it takes you back in time. It's... to a degree, what we're doing right now is the same as what people were doing 100 years ago or 500 years ago. And there's something, I guess it's deep within our, you know, our chemistry, our body cells, that, I don't know, it's a natural thing to be partaking in an activity like this. And I was excited, yeah, because I think that's the way we should be living. It just seems to make sense, especially when you're out here sailing.
So have you ever blended purpose and leisure together before? At least with sailing?
You know, that's a good question. I guess when you're out here, I think the time passes and you get time to think, right? And that's where you're like, well, you know, this boat can carry quite a bit of... weight, and it's pretty effortless, it almost seems, right? So it's like, it doesn't take long to start to think, well, you know, I'm going from Nelson to Crawford Bay or to Creston, why don't I take something with me, because it wouldn't slow me down. I mean, and I'll bring something back.
Tell me where you get your bread each time to work in the rain. It's not easy at all. Did you check out Sister Mary selling with her basket in Coronation Market? Don't you respect that hustling? Tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Slugger. Tell me where you get your bread each time you eat a belly full. And tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Slugger. Tell me where you get your bread each time.
Mm-hmm. The average cable or satellite TV bill runs a viewer $45 per month.
The average daily newspaper subscription, $30.
Internet, $35.
Magazine subscription, $30.
A book a month, $24.95.
Deconstructing Dinner's weekly one-hour episodes, free.
We believe in media being accessible to everyone, regardless of income. And for those of you who are able to support this radio project, please donate when you can or become a voluntary monthly subscriber by visiting deconstructingdinner.ca. Or for more information on how to send a check or money order, call 250-352-9600.
Deconstructing Dinner, helping ensure a perpetual harvest.
This is Deconstructing Dinner, a syndicated radio show and podcast produced at Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia. I'm John Steinman, and you've been on board the boat of David Oosthuizen, one of four sailors who volunteered to become part of Canada's first community-supported agriculture, or CSA, project for grain. Since March 2008, Deconstructing Dinner has aired six episodes featuring the evolution of this innovative project for accessing locally grown food. The CSA seeks to fairly compensate farmers for their work and create closer connections between farmer and eater. On this part seven of the series, we're enjoying an auditory journey into the weekend when I, alongside four sailors, their friends and families, and CSA co-founder Matt Lowe, embarked on a 56-hour fossil fuel-free journey to pick up the grain from the Creston Valley where it was grown and deliver it to the roughly 150 members of the CSA in Nelson. You can view photographs and maps of the sailing trip posted on our website at deconstructingdinner.ca and our page titled The Local Grain Revolution. Since this grain project was first conceived, the goal has been to create a sector of the local food system that would be less reliant on fossil fuels and more focused on creating a long-term and more sustainable model of food production. Now, while many critics of such an idea may view such ideals as being too radical or too romantically interested in replicating the models of yesteryear, the fossil fuel-free sailing was far from it. Because there we were, in the darkness of nighttime in the middle of Kootenai Lake, trying to find the other three boats who had likely already arrived at our planned overnight location. The sheltered bay where we were heading was on the side of the lake where no one lived, no lights, no markers, and only a train track hugging the shoreline. But as you'll hear in this next clip, it was GPS technology and cell phones that helped guide us to shore. When we arrived, we were greeted by a celebratory night of music, food, and drink.
So everyone, we're going to be really cognizant about staying very careful, because at nighttime, we have reflective, a little bit of reflective material on you.
Jacket.
Yeah, I think I've got some down there. But anyways, make sure you're careful, because if you're overboard, there's no chance, there's no, for certain that we can bring you back. So everyone's staying on board, I like that. Hello, Jay.
Yeah, you see us, Phil?
Oh, No, are you shining a flash?
Yeah, we're just flashing flashlights on and off.
Well, you're on the northern side of the Drury Point.
Side.
Yeah, well, we'll find you. I'm gonna bring it up on the GPS. I'll probably give you a call in about 20 minutes.
I've got a little strobe light. I'll just set it out here, and you'll see it when you come around the corner.
Lost satellite reception.
What's the plan?
We're gonna phone him and ask him when the train light, because we can see the light. We're turning the computer off because I think we're gonna have better success this way. We'll phone him. We'll say when the train passes, tell us. Then we can take a bearing on that with the compass.
Hey.
Hey Jay, can you hear?
Yeah.
Do you copy?
Yeah, I hear you now.
There's a train coming. Can you, when the
train's coming, get out of the train.
When the train comes right behind you, do you think you can give us a call? Then we can take a fix on that.
The train goes past us, I'll give you a holler. You're staying well offshore, mate.
Oh, yeah, we're in the middle of the lake, so that's...
Okay.
We're safe. We just want to find the right time to head towards the west shore.
Yeah. Now, hold on, I'd love to see your lights as you come around the corner here, too. So.
Copy.
As soon as the train gets here, I'll call you.
Over.
But it was like sailing an apartment.
Take a leak, though. It's different to leave a leak.
I know,
you
know,
it has something
like, I like it a little bit more. Like, over, feel the power of the wind.
Why wouldn't I?
Think
about it. So if you want to cruise across an ocean, you'd like to do it. No money.
Hey, Dave. Welcome on the audio world.
It's
got some digital world space device.
It's actually a razor.
It's a razor. And is it erasing for real? It's the razor.
You know, it's everything.
The razor and audio recorder
that fits
in one.
Each best.
Wow.
I think my preference. I like mono.
How's it going, E?
Live whisker interview.
You know the song? The whisker.
First thing I want to acknowledge is that this morning, Matt Lowe, who had conceived this Grain CSA and who is also one of the organizers of this event alongside myself tonight, he went down to the Greyhound station and picked up some grain that was shipped on the Greyhound from Creston this morning just so it could be part of this Sunday event at the All Seasons. And I would guess it's probably one of the first times that grain is actually being transported on a Greyhound. And just earlier, I was up at the intermission speaking with some other people from the area here, and we were talking about maybe next year putting some of the grain onto some sailboats, which is probably another potential first if we can pull that one off next year.
And I have something here that I wrote down. It's a little plagiarized, but it really fits in to what we're about and what we're here for tonight. The small farm does bring the family back to the table, both the farm family and the farm community. In food directly from the farm, prepared with artistry and local pride, and served in celebration to those who do the work, becomes a bonus payment to us, the farmer, of the highest order. People are looking for clear evidence of values they may connect with. They are interested in how we grow their food and why. To this end, the stories of our choices and concerns become important. In my case, heritage, true horsepower organics, and family involvement. What we do is important. We are farmers. We feed people. How we do it is more important. True, sustainable, organic farming. Why we do it is the most important of all. Why is like an explosion of connected spiritual, economic, and physical reasons with a little magic sprinkled in, and when woven together, create community. I recently read, if someone dreams a dream alone, it's only a dream. However, if we all dream the same dream together, it's the beginning of a new reality. So here's to a new reality.
As we're traveling this morning, I mean, we're right in the middle of an incredible painting. Just all these fall colors on these mountainsides and snow-capped mountains and this big, gorgeous lake. What a utter joy to be going and getting the grain this way. It's amazing.
This is Deconstructing Dinner. Within only a few hours of leaving our overnight location, we arrived at Kuskanuk Harbor, the southern end of Kootenai Lake and the northern reaches of the Creston Valley. It was there where farmers Roy Lawrence and Drew and Joanne Galeas were greeted by a couple dozen CSA members who live in Creston. It wasn't long before the grain began to be loaded onto the four sailboats, and a buffet of food was set up by the farmers and volunteers. Of course, the food was entirely local, and some of it made with the grain grown at Drew and Joanne Galeas' farm. Also on the table were samples of the first production of a new cheese being made by the Harris family at Kootenay Alpine Cheese. And we'll learn more about this dairy and this new cheese on an upcoming episode of the show. Now, for myself, the sharing of food was the end of my sailing journey because shortly after the grain had been loaded, I continued east to the city of Cranbrook, where the College of the Rockies was hosting a conference titled Fair Change, Fair Trade and Climate Change in the Kootenays. I was invited there to host an evening dinner that was part of the conference, and of course it only seemed appropriate to tell the story of the Grain CSA and the sailboat that transported me at least halfway to Cranbrook.
Oh, look at that end of the lake.
This is exciting. So we're wing on wing here, going dead downwind, and we'll do a last jibe and probably, I wonder if we'll be able, we might try coming under sail. Do you guys feel like doing something spectacular but slightly risky?
That's why we're here.
I guess that kind of sums up this whole trip. So, I believe we're going to pull up on the, we're going to do a starboard tie. We can actually almost at this point start getting ready for our docking.
So Catherine talked a little bit about how I got here. I did arrive here at least halfway by sailboat, and that connects in very much with what I'd like to talk about tonight. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Nelson Creston Grain CSA, or Community Supported Agriculture Project, it was started back in the summer of 2007 by a colleague of mine, Matt Lowe, who's with the West Kootenay Eco Society. And he took a local eat local challenge that the group I'm also a part of, Community Food Matters, started last summer. And we challenged the community of Nelson to eat as locally as they possibly could for the month of August. And people took a pledge. And Matt Lowe took that pledge. And he decided once a week he was going to, for that entire day, only eat local food. And after that month, he realized, well, there's one thing really missing from my diet. He could find everything from meat at the time. He could find dairy, he could find fruits and vegetables, but he couldn't find grain. And so he went and did something that most people who would take an Eat Local challenge wouldn't do. He just went out and connected with a colleague of his in Creston who worked with WildSight, and she contacted some farmers in Creston, and next thing you know, there were three farmers who were willing to grow grain as part of this project.
They are beautiful. Look at that label, too.
Look at the label.
We should get a chain.
And one of the amazing things that's also been happening outside of the media coverage has been the people who have been coming forward to be a part of this CSA. Because a month ago, there was a group of sailors who were part of the Kootenay Lake Sailing Association in Nelson, and they heard about this grain project because we had a celebratory event just about a month ago, which got a lot of media attention. And they heard about the event, and they contacted Matt Lowe, and they said, hey, you know, we know how to sail this lake, and we love sailing, and we want to be a part of this. And they came forward and said, let's go pick up that grain as close as we can to Creston and load it onto some boats. And so that's what I was doing this morning. And halfway across, or halfway to here, was on the boats with these four other boats. And as we pulled in this morning at around, well, I should say noon, early afternoon, there was two farmers there with their trucks loaded with grain, all in the bags. And there was a group of people that went down to help bag it.
So yeah, maybe the thing is, we make a pile there and a pile there for to get prepared for loading.
Or just even up there and get out of the way.
So what type of grain is this?
Hard spring wheat and red flake wheat. There's two varieties.
Oh yeah.
Right now, this is hard spring.
And this morning, I was taking pictures and also recording farmers loading grain onto sailboats, and there were kids involved, there were people of all ages just passing grain from one another. We did a symbolic breaking of a baguette on the side of a boat.
it's not stale enough.
Well, it's not going to break.
the symbolism's there.
Unfortunately, the baguette was too fresh, so it didn't break. But the idea was there, the symbolism was there. So next time maybe we'll bake it a few weeks in advance or something and get it really stale.
But yeah, as I was leaving, the boats were taken off, filled as much as they could with grain. Not all of the grain was able to make it back.
Wow, look at all these.
Those have chicken in them for the vegetarian diet.
Oh, nice.
Mm. Is this from the grain that's grown?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Are these your apples?
No, those no. are Henry Dahl. Mm.
Yep. Good again, everybody. Yeah. Lots of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Monumental thing.
The Alpen Don, it's only 3 months old, but it's probably going to be like a medium or medium cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Strala is a 3 months cheese, and he calls it like a Fontina.
So everybody, I just want to recognize the farmers, because without them, we wouldn't be picking up any grain today. So Joanne and Drew, I just wanted to give you a little token of appreciation.
Thank you.
And a big hand.
And a big hand.
Yes.
And Roy. So, and thanks everybody for coming. This is really heartwarming.
Have you already started? Is your boat full?
Yeah. We're pretty much loaded up. We're going to head off. We're going to try and make it to Pilot Bay tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave's boat's going to be able to take quite a bit. I imagine he'll be able to take at least 1,500 pounds. How many bags do you think are here?
There's 1,250 pounds.
Yeah, he'd be able to take all this. So maybe that would be a good amount.
This is Deconstructing Dinner. Now, there was one rather tense moment during the process of loading the grain that was not captured in those last segments. As the grain was transferred from the trucks to the boats, the bags were stacked neatly at the end of the dock where the boats were moored. What was not predicted was that the weight of the 20-pound bags stacked on top of each other would cause the dock to become submerged under the water, taking the grain with it. When that exact scenario transpired, a moment of panic ensued. And here's a quick recording where everyone, including myself, can be heard scrambling to save the grain from drowning in Kootenai Lake.
Hand it over to me.
Yeah, bags whichever. Are a bit tender. You have to be careful not to put a finger through. It's just 3 layers of paper. There's no plastic.
Okay.
And if you don't pop them down hard, then the stitching won't break either.
Okay, very gentle.
We've learned
gentle,
along
gentle,
the way.
Yeah. Yeah, be gentle.
We will treat them with love.
Well, yes. Gorgeous.
Okay.
Actually, maybe we'll get one more here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll just do one at a time.
Are you okay here?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, you're ready.
Back. Keep it off the dog. Okay. Oh, start throwing me some.
They will ruin it.
Well, that was close.
Did you get that palpable fear on the radio?
I think I did.
After another overnight stay on Kootenai Lake, the sailboats began to arrive in Nelson, 2 days after they had first departed. While the community of Nelson and CSA members were encouraged to come down to welcome the arrival of the boats, one of the boats arrived ahead of schedule and ahead of the crowds. On board was the boat's skipper, Dave Heath, alongside Matt Lowe and a crew of 3 others.
So who had more room, the grain or you?
The grain.
Did you have to sleep in the corner?
No, we went to Balfour and transferred to Guy's boat, so we were comfy last night.
Oh, so you didn't have to sleep in this boat?
No.
Oh, good.
Oh, two of them, Matt and Dave.
Yeah, we just came downwind with that spinnaker. Oh, it's so beautiful.
No wind.
No wind.
Huh? I think that'll be right there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going across
this one here. So, yeah, you put it on the wheels, this one.
Yeah.
Like that.
And then that'd be pretty heavy.
This thing is great.
So what's the horsepower on this wagon?
Horsepower? Wow, I think, what am I, about 1/10 of a horse?
So
So where's the grain going to hang out until members
Grain's
get it?
It's going into my basement. Fortunately, the basement tenants just moved out, so there's lots of room. And yeah, hopefully the oats will be here in about 2 weeks' time, and then we'll
Watch out.
Be ready.
Watch out, you dog. Watch out.
Is it one wet?
Yeah, just one. It's great.
How did it get wet, the one that fell in?
I don't know how it got wet. It's a little bit damp. Wow, you should have seen the waves coming over the bow of the boat last night as we were coming back. So Dave was worried about, the door on the bow. It's not totally sealed, so he was worried about a little bit of water getting in, but I think we did good.
So no one slept on any spelt?
Oh, yeah.
To see how comfortable it was.
I used one for a pillow.
I did. You used one for a pillow?
Yeah. I did nap on the spelt.
You napped on the spelt?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was more comfortable, like the red fife weed or the spelt?
Well, or the kamud. We had kamud too.
I like cuddling up with ghee.
Matt liked cuddling up with the red fife.
Matt was cuddling up with the red fife.
Not long after the first boat had been unloaded of its grain, the remaining three boats arrived. Waiting on the dock was a crowd of about 40 people of all ages, eager to see the conclusion to the successful first year of the Creston Grain CSA.
Take the grain with you.
That's right.
Yay!
Is that
did they get on?
I don't know.
Woohoo!
There's grain delivered to Nelson. Why are
Chris, can you release the bow a little bit?
Look
at Jack.
Look at this. Look at the turnout.
Oh, that's awesome.
Should we make a chain?
Sure.
I think that'd be really sweet. Do you guys want to make a chain so that we can pass the bags up the ramp? So two people, let's pick a partner and face your partner, and we'll carry the bags up. Do you guys want to do that? We can all hop on.
There may be some heavier bag. There's some 18 and heavier bags, so we have to check.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's. I'll get some other people up there.
A chain of people of all ages was formed to transfer the bags of grain between the boat and the parking lot, and there was a similar level of enthusiasm in the air that would, in years past, have been felt at a good old barn raising. Again, photographs of this are posted on our website at deconstructingdinner.ca. And what likely best captured this enthusiasm were the helping hands of Roy Plummer, who had arrived on the dock shortly before the first boat arrived. Roy had heard about the arrival of the boats and traveled from the community of Fruitvale to see what all the local grain fuss was all about. In no time, Roy was fully involved in helping unload the grain, and he even donated his pickup truck to transport the grain from the dock to the basement of Matt Lowe's home.
Okay.
What is it that brought you out here?
Well, because I realized that our food chain is in peril, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't like this idea of eating food that's been poisoned. So if people can support this type of thing, that's, I think it's going to be a real benefit. So that's why I'm here, to see what I can do to, you know, help out in whatever way to make sure that this type of activity is able to carry on.
So you heard about, how did you hear about the CSA?
I was over in Castlegar at a community garden that they're going to get started there. Mm-hmm. So I went over there to try and get some ideas about what can I do back home to see that this type of thing will happen. So I went over there looking for ideas, and then from there this came up. So I thought, well, I'm going to come over and see what's happening, get more energy, you know, like from, there's different connections that you can make to, you know, enable other people to get on board. And I think the more people that become aware, and I guess really that's what I really want to do, is become aware myself. What can I do so that I can inform other people, you know, that how can this thing really work and
so
why?
So you traveled here from Fruitvale or Castlegar?
From Fruitvale. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so now that you actually see this whole process with all these people helping and all the kids coming out, is this what you expected?
Oh, no, I didn't. You know, I never really expected there would be this amount of involvement in it. And,
So, and now I see you've just thrown yourself right into this.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be able to help out. You know, I mean, and that's what I want to do, is to do something constructive. You know, I've been spinning my wheels for a long time on trying to come up with an idea. What can a person actually do to seed? You know, I mean, I believe it's really, you know, we're so corporation controlled that, you know, there can be all kinds of things that can go wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if somehow or another people can realize that they've got to, you know, they actually have to put their own energy in rather than looking for other people to help them out. And fortunately, any help that we seem to get from the government has a lot of strings attached to it. So, you know, I just want to see that, you know, that it can work.
Okay, have a go. One more
okay,
growing.
Good. That'll do.
There it is.
How's that, Roy?
Looks good to me.
All right.
Well, we'll go up and see what happens.
Wheelbarrow's going to break.
Yeah, we can throw this on, and then I guess probably that's okay.
Good. And then maybe we'll throw this van over here.
And on.
Here we can put them on here.
Okay.
All right. And then four more.
Okay. So you want to wait on putting any more? You can put here. Wait a minute. I'm going to stack these.
Susie,
you guys later, eh?
Yeah, exactly. How do you go?
Yeah.
So let's go.
And that was Roy Plummer, an enthusiastic volunteer whose interest to reach out and be part of the Grain CSA, even for just that brief moment, sums up so much of the widespread community support that has contributed to the successful first year of this innovative local food project. You can expect many more installments of this Local Grain Revolution series as we continue to document the evolution of the Creston Grain CSA, and where we'll continue to also track the inspiration that this project is lending to people and communities across North America who are seeking to create more environmentally and socially responsible food systems. To conclude the ceremonial unloading of grain in Nelson, musicians Earl Hamilton and Norman Richard set themselves up on the pier and performed their Grain CSA-inspired tune, Close to Home.
Situation is in our hands to weave the threads of our community. Gotta find our tools. Close to home. We could buy our wheat from Creston. Now the farmers got a sure sale, they know. It gives me a sense of content somehow to get our bread so close to home. See, I grew up with Monsanto and Dow, chemical living, you know. They had all of us convinced somehow the fuel made everything close to home. If you want to have a future, get your food from close to home. If you want to see your children grow, get your food from close to home. We recognize our responsibility. The situation is in our hands to weave the threads of our community. Gotta find our tools.
So much of what we do is truly in my heart what it is I want to look after the land. And from what I've been reading, our health comes from the health of our soil. And so really what I'm endeavoring to do is to sort of grow very healthy food. It isn't the productivity, the money, it's just I'm an idealist, right? And so I really want to make it work. And I want to grow healthy food, look after the land, and like I said to somebody, you know, farming beyond oil is my ultimate plan. I've got some information from some people in the States, and they really have gone to just sit minimum till, and their ground is always growing, and that's what they do. They keep it growing in green manures and cover crops. And they keep that because they believe all that health of the soil, all those microorganisms need to keep growing all the time. That's the healthiest thing you can do.
If you want to see your children
grow. No new messages. 3 saved messages. Saved message.
Hello, this is the Eco Society calling to inform you that your grain is available for pickup.
You can collect your share at Sunday, December 7th at 9 o'clock a.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. at 1817 Falls Street. We ask that you do your best to pick up your share on the designated day or to have someone else come for you. And if you can't arrange to collect your grain on that day, then please contact us and we'll arrange another time. When you get your grain, we ask that you freeze all of it for 1 week to kill any organisms that may be in it because it is organic grain. And keep oats in the freezer because they have high oil content and could go rancid. If you have any questions, please call us at 354-1909. Thank you and have a nice day.
Well, it's like a complete opposition to this one place. I don't know if it's still there, Granville Market, Granville Island Market in Vancouver. There's a small little outlet there called Jet Fresh. It's Jet Fresh, and everything they have in this little booth at the Granville Island Market is fresh off of a jet. So things like, you know, fresh peppercorns, the kinds of stuff that you normally wouldn't find in a grocery store, and like, you know, gourmet foods, the kinds of things that, you know, chefs would probably go to this place to buy. And that's how they sell it. It was Jet Fresh, and I remember there was an image of an airplane beside the sign, and that's how they were marketing it. And that was only a few years ago when I saw that, and maybe it's still there. But it's, talk about complete opposition to have then a label that's like sailboat fresh.
Sailboat stale.
Sailboat stale.
Well, I guess the grain, I think, will still be fresh.
No, I think we'll be able to keep them fresh yet.
So tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Silver. Tell me where you get your bread each day and night. So tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Silver. Tell me where you get your bread each time. Have you ever worked a forklift, hustling day and night on the wharf? Have you ever worked a taxi, sleeping on the street side all night long to find some food? So tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sugar. Tell me where you get your bread each time you lift your knife and fork. Tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sugar. Tell me where you get your bread each time. To work in the radio station, it's not easy at all.
And that was this week's edition of Deconstructing Dinner, produced and recorded at Nelson, British Columbia's Kootenai Co-op Radio. I've been your host, John Steinman. I thank my technical assistant, John Ryan. The theme music for Deconstructing Dinner is courtesy of Nelson area resident Adam Shake. This radio program is provided free of charge to campus community radio stations across the country and relies on the financial support from you, the listener. Support for the program can be donated through our website at deconstructingdinner.ca or by dialing 250-352-9600.